morning. Let's begin. So we left off yesterday. On top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, literally first word on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. So if you remember again, the Gemara was quoting the whole variety of different cases. This was the case of Chatzer Chitzona and Pnimis, two different chatzeros, one inside of the other, the inner one not having any kind of its own, not having any entrance or exit to the Shtram on its own. The only way it exits to the Shtram is through the Chatzer Chitzona, through the outer Chatzer. So the Gemara discussed the whole variety of cases of if they make an Eruv and then one of the participants does not join in, what the ramifications of that non-participation are on the Eruv. So the Gemara says, top of Samach Zayin, Shachach Echad Minach Yitzona Below Eruv. So what happens if, let's say, one of the members of the inner Chatzer did not go ahead and participate in the Eruv? So look at Rashi just a moment. Shachach Echad Minach Yitzona Below Eruv. Excuse me, the outer Chatzer, I'm sorry. One of the residents of the outer Chatzer did not participate in the Eruv. So Rashi says, Baha Modi Shmuel, so what happens? Now, one of the members of the outer chatzer does not join in the Erev with the inner chatzer. So we'll say the Erev now in this case is resting inside the inner chatzer. The inner chatzer will still be okay. Why? Because interestingly enough, what the inner chatzer could always do is literally close itself off, cut itself off ultimately from the outer chatzer, and therefore it has a bona fide Erev. However, the chitzona asur, now when it says cut itself off, what it means is it could close its doors. And if there's some type of mechitza there, it could literally mechitza itself off from the outer chatzer. Of course, that would prevent it from exiting on Shabbos or Shtarabim, but nevertheless, it allows it to have its eruv. The chitzona asur, but the outer chatzer, of course, will not be good, meaning the eruv will not work for the outer chatzer. Amar li Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua l'Rava, the chishachach echad mina pnimis v'lo irev. Amai shtehen asuros. Aye, but one second. Says Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua to Rava. But if one of the members of the inru chatzer forgets and does not join in the iru, why should both be asur? After all, livatel bar pnimis. So it's just a continuation from yesterday. Livatel bar pnimis libnei pnimis. Let the resident of the inner chatzer literally yield his rights, be mavatel his rishus to the other resident of the inner chatzer. V'teisi chitzona v'tishtri b'hadayim, and then go ahead and let the outer chatzer become permitted with the other residents of the inner chatzer. You know, we'll say, why should the non-participation of one member negate the effectiveness of the eruv? After all, let him just yield his rights to another member of his chatzer. To which the Gemara says, Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? Or, who, according to, does the question come up? Kiman, k'Rabbi Eliezer, like Rabbi Eliezer, da'amar eino tzarech levata reshus. Rabbi Eliezer holds you need not to be mevatel your rishus to every single individual. Look at Rashi. Kiman, Rabbi Eliezer. Rava kamahadle Rav Huna. Rava responds to Rav Huna. Kiman ka'amrat l'milseich. According to whom did you espouse your ideas? Rabbi Eliezer da amar eino tzarech. Fine. So the Gemara says, however, ki ka'amina, when I ask my question, the Gemara says, so you're right. So meaning your idea of just having the member of the chatzir yield his rights to one of the other members, that works fine according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that when negating your rights or when yielding your rights in the chatzir, you need not go to every single individual in the chatzir. When I was raising the question, I was raising it according to the Rabbanon of old, that indeed you must be mevatel yirushus to every individual. Okay, says the Gemara. Rav Chister Rav Sheshes was an interesting introduction. Whenever they would meet each other, Rav Chista mirasan sifusei mimas nisa de Rav Sheshes. Literally, Rav Chista's lips would tremble because of the knowledge of Rav Sheshes. But Rav Sheshes marse kule gufei, and Rav Sheshes, his entire body would shake milpil pule de Rav Chista from the analytical prowess of Rav Chista. Now, let's look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Rashi says, Mimas nisi de Rav Sheshes, shayu mishnayos siduros lo. Apparently, Rav Sheshes, Rabbosai, is someone that we know, we call a Sinai. A Sinai is someone who just amassed an incredible amount of knowledge. So therefore, the Gemara says, whenever Rav Chista would meet Rav Sheshes, his lips would tremble, because Rav Sheshes had such a voluminous knowledge. V'yori Rav Chista was often fearful, shalom mishnah al mishnah v'yomar la'latar tzon. So what was Rav Chista always nervous about? Rav Chisda was nervous that Rav Sheshes would put him on the spot, right? He would quote two Mishnayos, and he would ask him to reconcile the contradiction. So, excuse me, Rav Chisda was always nervous about being put on the spot by Rav Sheshes. And look at the next Rashi, Mil Popule, and Rav Sheshes, his entire body used to shake because of the pilpul of Rav Chisda, Chorif. That ultimately, Rav Chisda is very sharp, which usually means the analytical ability. Chorif, v'savar haya b'yoser v'amak b'sheilosav. He had incredible thinking processes, and his questions were exceptionally deep. So I'll say, these two scholars were in awe. Now, interestingly enough, they have very different intellectual gifts, right? One has a gift of the voluminous memory, and the other has the ability to go ahead and analyze. So when they would get together with each other, both would be nervous to be in each other's company. Boy, mine Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes. So after that introduction, the Gemara says, Rav Chisda asked the following question to Rav Sheshes. Shnei batim, mishnei tzidei rishus harabin. So we'll say, in a very interesting case, let's say you have two homes on two opposite sides of the rishus harabin. Uba'u nochrim ve'kifu mechitza b'shabbos. And now, on Shabbos, non-Jews come along and erect a mechitza around the homes. Bless you. Ma'u, bless you. What is the halacha? Now we'll say, look at Rashi. Ve'kifum, Rashi says, sasmu v'shusarabi mikan l'kan. So we'll say, if you can imagine, you have two homes on the opposite side of the width of Rosh Hashanah. If you want to see, there's a picture over here. This is picture 235. Again, not complicated. It's similar to a case we had earlier. Two homes in the opposite sides of the width of the Rosh Hashanah. And what happens? And now on Shabbos, Rashi says, so what happens on Shabbos? Nochrim, non-Jews come, and they build a mechitza in between the two homes, right? They're essentially walling off the area of the Rosh Hashanah in between the two homes. Up to two homes, correct. Meaning up to two homes. Meaning the mechitza doesn't have to go around the homes. The point is, from the entrance, we have the homes, the entrance, now walled in area. So the Gemara says, V'nisha lefnei beis abatim ke'ein chotzer. Shabbat Pesuchoslu. And now effectively, what's been created, it looks like what's now been created, is a chatzer between the two homes. Now this area was Rosh Sarabin. Now it's been enclosed by the Nochrim on Shabbos. So the question is, Mahu? So the question, Rabbosai, is now you have this area that was Rosh Sarabin. Now essentially it's a chatzer. So the question is, what do we do with it? So look at Rashi. Mahu, you might be asking a much more defined question. Mahu Sheivatel Zeh Rishusol Zeh. So we'll say, obviously at this point in time, Shabbos. You can't make an Erev on Shabbos. So you only have one choice. What can you do? Can one be mevatel his? Let's say you have Reuven and Shimon. So now Reuven says, Shimon, I yield my rights in the chatzer to you. I yield my rights in the chatzer to you. So the yehei mutter the hotzi mi beis solakan. The hakaim olam bepirka tanina kol mechitzas hanaasas b'shabbos be b'shogig bein b'mezid shma mechitza. The choshkin hacha de nachrim abduah. So we'll say the Gemara is presupposing that the past we actually had the sugi of Rashi calls on dafcha, that mechitzos that are made on Shabbos, in fact, again, are considered to be valid, bona fide mechitzos. So let's make that assumption right now. So the area is an enclosed rishus, can't make an erev. So Reuven says, you know what, I'm going to yield my rights to Shimon. This way, at least Shimon can carry from his home into the chatzer. Now, also remember, it'll give Reuven the right to carry in the chatzer itself, not from his home to the chatzer. But like this, he gives Shimon the right to transport objects from his home into the chatzer. So can you go ahead and do this on Shabbos? Mahu. So the Gemara says, Aliba demand the Omer, ain't bitul rishus mechatzer lechatzer, lo tibari lecha. So once according to the Man D'Amar, who holds that you can't yield your rights from one chatzer to the next. In bitul rishus mechatzer lechatzer, lo tibari lecha. The question doesn't even come up. Look at Rashi. Aliba demand the Omer, ain't bitul rishus mechatzer lechatzer, the okimna taima mishum de'in osrin. Ve'in mevaklin, va'af agav de'ibou le'eruve havu ma'arve, alma tarti ba'inan osin ma'arve. So we'll say, remember, we actually mentioned this yesterday. So for example, if you have the case of two chatzeros that open into each other, right? Both open up into Rosh Hashanah, and they also have a common, they share an entrance in the wall between them. So the halacha is one can't yield his rights to the other in that chatzer. Why? Because in order to be able to have bittul rishus, you need two things. Number one, osrin u'ma'arvin. Osrin means that they prohibit each other ultimately again if there's no eruv, and ma'arvin means they have the ability to join in the eruv. Only if you have those two factors can you go ahead and yield your rights in the chatzer? So the Gemara says, Aliba demand the Amar, according to the man that holds in bitul rishus mi chatzer lechatzer, lo tiboy lecha. The question doesn't even come up. Why not? Hashta di ibo'u le'aruve me'etmol, matzi me'arvi. So in the case of the two chaseros side by side, where they could have made an erev yesterday if they wanted to, and yet nevertheless amrit ein vitul rishus michatzer lechatzer, we said that you can't be mavatul your rishus from one chaser to the next. Hacha in this case di ba'u le'eruve me'esmol lo matzim me'arve. We also remember in this case if they wanted to make an erev yesterday, they would not have been able to do so. Why? Because yesterday was still Rosh Sarabim, Lakol Shekin, then all the more so they can't do Bithul Rishos today. Fine. Kiti Boy Lacha. So, according to whose opinion does this become an issue? Or who could we ask the question according to? Aliba demand the Amr, Yesh Bithul Rishos Michatzel Lachatzel. According to the man the Amr, who says that there is Bithul Rishos from one chazer to the next. So, take a look at the next Rashi just a moment. Loti Boy Lacha, the Kol Shekin, the Hacha, Loha, Veloha. So we'll say according to the first approach, in order to go ahead and have Bithul Rishus, you need two things. Number one, that the people could have joined in a common Eruv. And number two, the fact that they didn't join in an Eruv prohibits both from using the Chatzar. But we'll say that obviously doesn't apply in this case, because they couldn't have joined in an Eruv yesterday because of the Rishus Aradim. And therefore, by definition, they did not prohibit upon each other. So therefore, according to that approach, it's clear that even though now on Shabbos it's enclosed, they may not yield their rights to each other. The Gemara now says, the question comes up according to the man do Amr, Yesh bitul rishus mechatzel lechatzer. Look at Rashi. Ki tiboy lecha libu de man do Amr yesh bitul, v'apagav de'in osrin mai. Now we'll say, remember, according to this approach, you could have bitul rishus, you could yield your rights, even if what? Even if you do not aser on each other. So Rashi says, v'apagav de'in osrin mai. So let's see the Gemara. Hasam the ibao la aruve me esmo matse me arvi bitule nami matzul mavatel. So do we say Rabosai? Then in the other case, remember the other case was you have side by side chatzeros with a wall in between them, an opening in the wall. So technically speaking, they could make an erev with each other, but their failure to make an erev with each other does not in any way prohibit either one from using their own respective chatzer. So do we say in that case, since they could have made an Erev together yesterday, if they wanted to make an Erev with each other yesterday, they could have done so. So we'll say it's the fact that they could have made an Erev that what? That allows them ultimately to yield their rishus, to yield their rights. But in this case over here, since they could not have yielded their rights to each other yesterday, because remember, what was it yesterday? Yesterday was Rosh Sarabim. Then maybe there is no Bithul Rishus here. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps the other possibility is Loshna, or perhaps it doesn't make a difference. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, I know Rashi, and I'm sorry. Amarle, see, responded to him that, remember, this was Rav Chista asking Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes responds, Ein Mevatlin. The halacha is that we're not mevatel rishus in that case. We'll say again. So therefore, in this case over here, we have two homes, opposite sides of rishus harabim. Nochrim come along on Shabbos and enclose the area. So now the Gemara paskins or Sheshes paskins, which seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara, ein mevatlin. Even though now you have an enclosed area, neither will be able to essentially use that enclosed area. One can't yield his rights to the other. Why not? Rashi says, "Dechada mi'a ba'inon." So interestingly enough, because apparently in this particular case you have neither, meaning they're not ma'arvin. There was no ability to go out and make an eruv, and therefore they were not osrin. And apparently, in order to have the concept of bittul rishus, the Gemara is saying you need at least one of those two possibilities. Either that they could have joined in an Eruv from before Shabbos, or possibility number two is that they astered on each other on Erev Shabbos. But since neither of those things applied over here, because this is Rosh Sarabim, therefore they cannot yield their rights on Shabbos itself. Meis, nochri b'Shabbos mal. Next case of Osai. What happens if you have again, look at Rashi for just a moment. Meis, nochri b'Shabbos. Ha nami ba'amine shnei Yisraelim, the nachri hadarim bechaser, below sachru, below irvu, umeis nachri b'shabbos, ma'u levatel zelazah. So what's another case? Let's say you have three people living in a chaser, two Jews and a non-Jew, two Jews and a nachri. And what happens? On Erev Shabbos, they didn't make an Erev. They didn't make an Erev, nor did they rent the right. Remember, again, the Erev would be between the two Jews, but for the non-Jew, you have to rent his rights. Let's say they didn't rent his rights. They didn't rent his rights before Shabbos, and they didn't make an Erev either. So essentially, they're not using their chatzar. They're not using his chatzar. I'm sorry?
You can't make an Erev unless you rent.
Correct. Correct. So no Erev. No Erev and no Schira. So the Gemara says, Mahu. So now what is that halacha? I will say, when they say Mahu, what they're asking is, now on Shabbos, could one yield his rights in the chatzar to the other? Now remember, I will say, the idea of, well, again, we've said this a number of times already, but this whole chap of yielding your rights, what that essentially allows for is, at least one person could have full usage of the chatzar. Right? So meaning, right now, neither of us could use the chatzar. But at least if I yield my rights, if I'm Reuven, I yield my rights to Shimon, at least Shimon could go ahead and use the chatzar. No, no, because remember, the only guy is only a problem if he's there. Once he's not there, it's not a problem. It's the same way that if you went away for Shabbos, Lamaisa, again, you don't have to worry about anything. So, yeah, so they might have to contend with a new non-Jewish owner later on, but for now, it's enough that he's not present. So the Gemara says, Aliba demanda amr sochrin. So according to the mandam who says that, Aliba demanda amr sochrin, according to the mandam who says that you rent out the area, you have to rent the rights. Look at Rashi. Aliba demanda amr, le'el beperkin, heichad da'asi nochri v'shabis, sochrin heimenu, v'achar kach mevaglin, lo tibayis schirus u'bitl chadami bayis. So listen to this. So according to the mandam who holds, remember, so 2 days ago we had, that was the last case on Amud Beis, we had when the Nachri shows up on Shabbos. The Nachri shows up on Shabbos. Can I go ahead and rent his rights on Shabbos itself? So according to the mandam who holds that I could rent the rights of a non-Jew in the Chatzar even on Shabbos, lo tibayi l'chad. The question doesn't even come up. Hashta tarti avdinon chadami bayi. Now, what I remember, in the case that we saw before of renting the non-Jew's rights in the Chatzar, there are two things that happen. I rented the non-Jew's rights in the Chatzar, and then what else? And then I was mevatel my reshus to the other resident of the Chatzar. So if you could do two, then you could certainly do one. If you can go ahead and rent the rights and do bitul reshus, then all the more so. In this case over here, we don't even have to rent the rights because the non-Jew passed away. All I would need to do is bitul reshus. That certainly would be okay. Elokiti boilucha. Rather, where the question comes up, aliba demanda amar in sochrin. According to Mandam, who says that you can't rent the rights of the non-Jew in the Chatzar on Shabbos. Tartihu de lo avdinan. So maybe according to this approach, you can't do two things. You have both sides. I can't rent the rights and do bitul reshus. Ha-chada avdinan. But perhaps one of them I could do. O Dilma, or perhaps the other possibility is. Lo shna. Or maybe, no, it's not a question of two versus one. It's that you can't go ahead and create new transactional realities in the Chatzar on Shabbos. Amarlehi said to him, Ani Omer, Mevaklin, I say that they can do it, that in the case of the Nachri died, you could go ahead, one Jew could yield his rights to the other. The Hanuna Amar ain't Mevaklin. But Rav Hanuna said that you're not Mevaklin. So also you can see over here already where the little base is, the way that Rav Shulchan Aruch Paskins is Mevaklin, is that Lamaisa, in this case where the Nachri died, we would allow for one Jew to yield his rights in the Chazar to another Jew, thereby allowing that second Jew at least full usage of the Chazar. So we'll say two conclusions come out from this particular sugya. Number one is the case where the two homes that are enclosed on Shabbos by Nachrim, right, the Mechitos are made on Shabbos, Lamaisa, we Paskin in that case of Ein Mevaklin. We pass in that case that one Jew can't yield his rights in that chatzar to the other, because in order for that to happen, in order to yield rights, you have to have an area that lemaisa they had the ability to make an erev on erev Shabbos, and at least either one of the two, they either had the ability to make an erev on erev Shabbos, or lemaisa they astered on each other on erev Shabbos. But in the Rosh Rabim case, neither of those two things apply. Therefore, again, they can't do bitul reshus. And number two, the ma'aseh in a case where the non-Jew dies, in that case now there's no longer an issue of schirus from the non-Jew, one Jew can be mevatel his reshus to the other, thereby allowing the other usage of the chatzar. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Nachri sheyesh lo pesach arba al arba. It's an interesting case. If a non-Jew, so I'll say, same basic case where you have Jews living in a chatzar and a non-Jew living with them. So Nachri sheyesh lo pesach arba al arba. Pasuach lebika. If the non-Jew has another entranceway to his home, another door, a doorway that's at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, that opens up into a bika. A bika, of course, is an open field. So we'll say, what's the chap over here? So, I mean, you could see this, if you have the picture books, you could see this is picture 236. So if you can imagine for a moment, the assumption is that the homes themselves, have an entranceway into the chatzar. So now let's say the non-Jews' homes has another private entranceway, not into the chatzar, but goes from his home into a bikkah, into an open area. It's an open area. So the Gemara says, Afilu machnis umotzi gimalim ukronos kolayom kulo derech mavoy. Even if literally there are camels and wagons coming in to the entranceway of the chatzar, the non-Jews' entranceway to the chatzar the entire day from the mavoy, ein osir al b'nei mavoy. He does not in any way prohibit on the people of the mavoy. I will say, what does this mean? What this means is like this. The Gemara essentially is asking is a very interesting case. Let's say the non-Jew has his own private entrance. He has his own way that he could get into his home. That is not the way that everybody else gets in. So everybody else comes in from the Surabim into the Mavoy, into the Chatzar, and then they all have doorways that open up into the Chatzar. He has another back door. That's his own private entrance that ultimately opens up into a Bikkah, opens up into an empty field behind the Chatzar. The question the Gemara is dealing with over here is, does that essentially remove him from the Chatzar? Can we look at that entranceway of the Bikkah to be his primary entranceway, and therefore the entranceway that he has into the Chatzar, the non-primary entranceway, the benefit for us in that is we wouldn't necessarily have to reckon him really as a resident of the Chatzar itself, since his home does not use a primary entrance into the Chatzar. So the Gemara says, even, I'll take it even a step further, even if he's clearly using that front entrance into the Chatzar, and there are camels coming in, and there are wagons coming in, so there's clearly an incredible amount of traffic coming in through that front entrance. If he has this exclusive back entrance, and it opens up into the Bikkah, and it's Dalet by Dalet, that's considered to be his primary entrance, and therefore that would essentially remove him, for Erev purposes, from the Chatzar itself. So the Gemara says, my time, well, what's the reason? Bepischa v'miyuchalei bahu nechalei. Because the truth is, he would rather use an entranceway that is his own. Rashi says, "Bahu nechalei mishum deika avira tfei mavoi." The reason he likes using that private entranceway, both sides, remember, where does it open up to? It opens up into a nice big field, so there's a nice view, there's a nice airflow. He doesn't have to see the neighbors every single time he goes in and out of the house. So therefore, the Gemara says that's the preferred entranceway. So because that's the preferred entranceway for our purposes, for Erev purposes, what it's able to do is remove him, so to speak, from the Chatzar. So the Gemara says, Ibai lehu, pasach lekarfeif mahu. Okay, so that's fine with a bikkah. Right, you've got a nice open field in front of you, that's very nice. Right? What about, again, what happens if it doesn't open up into the field, but ultimately it opens up into a karfif? So remember, again, we spoke about karfif. Karfif is a storage area. A storage area. Again, it could also be a large area, but it was an area where they used to store firewood and other things like that. So what happens if it doesn't open up into a nice big field, but it opens up into a karfif? Amar Rav Nachman bar Ami mishum du'upen v'shmei du'upena. So Rav Nachman bar Ami said the name of Upena. Now what's Upena? Rashi says, Sheshama me'rabo, v'rabo me'rabo. Ulpana means a tradition. That Rav heard based on the tradition that his rabbi heard from his rabbi, that heard from his rabbi, afilu, pasuach lekarfeif. Even if the entranceway of the Naju opens up into the karfeif, that's also enough to allow us to look at that back door of the Naju as the primary entrance. Rashi says, afilu pasuach lekarfeif, nechale beit fei. He would rather use that entrance. The ika avira tfei mimavoi. And I will say, remember, this avira thing is very interesting. As I pointed out before, when we speak about a chatz, you know, we think about a yard. This is not just a yard. This is people are cooking in there, people are doing the laundry in there. A lot of stuff is going on in there. So the Gemara is saying, if you have an entranceway to your home that you can walk out and get a little bit more fresh air, and a little less noise, most people would tend to use that private entranceway, even if it might even be a little bit more inconvenient in terms of having to go around, let's say, to get back to Osh Sarabim. No, so that's why the Gemara is not dealing with that case, because if you're opening up into another chatzar, the Gemara doesn't really look at that as a beneficial exit. It's only beneficial when it opens up into some kind of open area. Yeah. Rab, I'm sorry?
And it's his alone.
Correct. Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the Omri Tarvayu, Rabbi and Rav Yosef both said, Nochri, Beis Sasayim Oser, Yosemi Beis Sasayim Eina Osu. It was an interesting case. So Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both said that Nachri Beis Sasayim Osu, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. For a Nachri, for a non-Jew, an area of two Sa'a Asers. Now what does that mean? Im Hayulo Pesach Lekarfeif. Let's say again, the non-Jew had this private entrance, and the private entrance opened up into a Karfeif that was two Sa'a. Two Sa'a is an area. Pesach Lekarfeif, Baisa Pesach Lamavui, Adayin Oser Albanei Mavui, Da'avira de Karfeif Lo Nafish. Avalin Yosemi Beis Sasayim Nafish Avira. Also, listen to this. So Rabbi Yosef both said the following. Nachri, Beis Sasayim Oser, Yosemi Beis Sasayim Eino Oser. If the non-Jew has this back door, so everything depends. So now we'll say, we want to see, can we look at the back door as his primary entrance to his home, and therefore essentially remove him from the chazir and not have to worry about renting his space for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, it depends how large the area is that his back door opens up to. If the back door only opens up to an area of Beis Sa'ah, that's not so big. That's not so big. And therefore, again, it's not such a great chab for the Nachri, and therefore he'll just as soon use the entranceway that goes into the chazir. But if it's more than Beis Sa'ah, more than Beis Sa'ah, that's not much like being in the country, right? You know, that's like in the bungalow colony. That's already nice. A person would go ahead and use that entranceway, and therefore we could remove him from the chatzar. However, the Yisrael, Beis Sasayim Eino Oser, Yosemi Beis Sasayim Oser. But for a Jew, it's just the opposite. For a Jew, if he has this back door, if the back door opens up to an area of two Sa'ah or less, then we could remove him from the chatzar. So Moshe said, interesting enough, it's not just a din by a non-Jew. It comes up by a non-Jew, but it's the same thing by a Jew. Anybody who has a back door that no one else could use, an exclusive entrance, that becomes a primary entrance, he could be removed from the chatzar. So if it's for a Jew, for Eidu purposes. So if it's for a non-Jew, it means you don't have to rent his area. If it's for a Jew, it means you don't need his participation in the chatzar, in the Eidu. We'll see this later on in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, for a Jew, if the area at the back door opens up to his two Sa'ah or less, then the back door is considered to be his primary entrance, and it can be removed from the chatzar. If, however, it's more than two base Sa'ah, then Lamaisa, this would not count as an entranceway. What's the pshat? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Yisrael, Shiesh lo pesach lekarfeif, u pesach lamavoy, v'shachach v'lo ireit b'mavoy, in karfeif base sasayim hu, sheroi lehishtamish bo, eino osr al b'nei mavoy, v'afa gav til gabi nachri chashiv zutra, legabi Yisrael nafish, d'ha b'shabes leka ho tsa'as masuos yisirin, v'sagi b'achi, v'nafish avira mimavoy, aval yosrem beis sasayim, de karmelis hu, kigon shalo hukof ledira, listen to this. So for a Jew, what would happen? If the area is less than two Beis Sa'ah, then that's an area that's usable on Shabbos for him. Because it's an area that's usable on Shabbos for him, therefore we could look at that as his primary entrance. And therefore Rabbi says, Rashi points another ramification of this. If for some reason he forgot to participate in the Eruv, so his non-participation would not cause a problem for the rest of the people of the Chazar of the Mavui, because he's got his own entrance. However, more than two base Sa'ah, Rashi points out, would be considered a karmelis. So once it's considered a karmelis, remember, a karmelis, back to our Shabbos days, a karmelis has the din of a quasi-rishsarabin. Once it's a quasi-rishsarabin, then what? Then he can't carry from his home into that karmelis, which means that the usage of it is not considered to be beneficial for him. If it's not considered to be beneficial for him, then what? Then that will not be considered to be his primary entrance. So I'm also like, it's the opposite for the Jew and the non-Jew. For the non-Jew, only more than two base Sa'ah is considered to be significant, and that'll be the primary entrance. For a Jew, more than two base Sa'ah is problematic, because the area has been categorized as a karmelis, and he won't be able to use it on Shabbos. Two Sa'ah or less will be good, because that's still considered to be a Rishus HaYachid, and he can carry into it. So Rava Bar Chakloi asked Rav Huna, Pasuch Lekarfeif Mahu, what is the halacha? What is the halacha if the non-Jew's back door opens up into a karfeif? See, since he asked the same question we just said before, Amalei, Hari Amru, we just said this. Beis Sasayim Oser, if it only, for this for the non-Jew, if it only opens up into an area of two Sa'ah or less, then it's Oser. Oser means Rabbo said that this will not be considered to be the primary entrance of the non-Jew, and therefore the non-Jew's presence will still have to be reckoned with for Eira purposes. Yoser mi beis sasayim. However, again, if it's more than two beis sa'ah, then lemaisa that becomes a primary entrance for the non-Jew, and therefore eino oser. And therefore, again, you will not have to worry about renting his rights in the chatzar. Amru ulo an Rabbi Yochanan. Karfeif, yoser mi beis sasayim, shelo hukaf ledira. What happens if you have a karfeif that's more than two beis sa'ah, that was not enclosed for residential purposes? Even if it's much larger, hazorik lesochol chayif. If you, Rabbi said, he's talking about if I'm standing in Rosh Sarabim, and I have a karfeif that's huge, more than two base, more than a core kurayim. If I'm standing in Rosh Sarabim, I throw an object now from Rosh Sarabim into that karfeif. The halach is what? I'm chayif. My time. Oh, what's the reason? Mechitzehi. Because also, I remember, what did we say? It's enclosed. It's enclosed. Because what's happened? It's enclosed even though what? Even though it's lacking residence. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lamaisa, since it has mechitzos, those mechitzos make it into a sayachid, even though what? Even though there's no one living there. Look at Rashi. Chayiv chatos. Chatos va'af agav v'le'inyin iser tiltul shavyu ha-rabbanan karmelis sha'asru l'taltel b'socho elad b'dalid me'da'oraisor sayachid gemurihi. So listen to this. It's actually very interesting. So the Gemara is pointing out over here is this area has a contradictory identity. On one hand, I will say if you have a karfeit that's more than two base saw, and let's say it's hukaf ledir, it has mechitzos. So remember, we just said before that lamaisa that's considered to be a karmelis. If it's considered to be a karmelis, then what does that mean? You can't carry more than dalet amos in it, like Rosh Sarabim, right? But yet, interestingly enough, if I'm standing in Rosh Sarabim and I throw an object into it, I'm chayiv achatos, right? Midoraisa. Why? Because midoraisa, that area is still considered to be a Roshus Hayochit. And because it's a Roshus Hayochit, midoraisa and chayiv for otzah, if I throw an object. So interestingly enough, it has a dual identity. Rabbinically, it has an identity as a Rosh Sarabim, and therefore I can't carry more than Dalet Amos in it. But biblically, it has the status of a Roshus Hayochit, and therefore, if I throw an object from Rosh Sarabim into it, I will actually be chayiv. Quite interesting. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Huna Bar Chinina. So Rav Huna Bar Chinina raised the contradiction. An interesting case. Sela Shebayam. Let's say you have a rock in the sea. Now Rashi points out over here, Yam Karmelisu. The sea is a Karmelis, right? The reason, now you say, isn't Rosh Sarabim? No, because remember, Rosh Sarabim requires two things. Rosh Sarabim requires, number one, a certain width, let's say 16 amos, which the sea may have, but also it requires pedestrian traffic, right? You need more than 600,000 people there each and every day. So with Pashas, the Yam doesn't satisfy that second criteria. So therefore the Gemara says that the Yam is a Karmelis. So let's say you have a rock in the sea. A rock in the sea. What happens? Sela Shebayam, Gavoa Asara, that's 10 tefachim high, Verochav Arba, and it's 4 tefachim wide. So the halacha is, Ein betaltelin lo misocho liyam, lo minayam misocho. Now, both sides, the rock itself seems to have what? Seems to have the dimensions of a Rosh Hayochid. I said, I have a rock Rosh Hayochid sitting in the water Karmelis. Okay, so therefore the Gemara says, Ein betaltelin lo misocho liyam, lo minayam misocho. So you can't carry from the rock to the sea, and not from the sea to the rock. Okay. So the Gemara says, look at Rashi. Ein mataltin lo misocho liyam, afilu b'dalet amos, b'shem dekol gavoa asav rochav dalet habi Rosh Hayochid. So we'll say with Hashas, because again, the rock is Rosh Hayochid, the sea is a Karmelis, and you can't, and remember, a Karmelis again is a quasi Rosh Hayochid, you can't carry from the Rosh Hayochid to the Karmelis. However, pachos mikan, but let's say the dimensions of the rock are less. Rashi says, so for example, she'ina gavoa asara, Karmelis kayam umetaltin mizelizeh. So let's say the dimensions of the rock are less. So therefore, if the dimensions of the rock are less, then what does the rock become? The rock also becomes a Karmelis. If that's the case, pachos mikan, metaltin, you could carry from the rock to the sea and from the sea to the rock. So the Gemara says, ad kama, and how much, now we'll have to see what how much refers to. Ad kama, ad base sasayim, until it is the area of two base saw. So the Gemara says, Ahia, what is that last phrase at kama referring to? Ilema asefa, if it's talking about the sefa, and therefore it's referring to the dimensions of the rock, base sasayim tfe lo, is that to say only if the rock is too large but more not, you wouldn't be able to? Vaha, Mekarmelis, the Karmelis metaltel. But Rabbi say, even if the rock is more than two base, who cares? After all, the rock is a Karmelis, the sea is a Karmelis, you should be able to carry from the rock to the sea. The Gemara says, lo areisha. It's talking about the first case of the Braisa. Balchikamer, this is what it means to say. Sela shebayam, if you have a rock in the sea, gavoha asara verochav dalit, that is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, eimataltel lo misocho liyam, you can't carry from the rock to the sea, from the sea to the rock, which makes sense. The rock is Ursh Sayachid. The sea is a Karmelis, and therefore you can't carry. V'ad kamo. And how large could the rock be? Ad base sasayim. Until the area of two base sa'a. Hoyeser mi base sasayim metaltalin. But if it was larger than two base sa'a, then what? Then you can carry. Even though water ball side. Even though it's more than 10 tefachim high. Why? Because more than two base sa'a, what does the rock become? The rock becomes a Karmelis, right? So we'll say, look at this. Alma Karmelis he vitiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, if it's a Karmelis, and therefore it refutes the position of Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, what did Rabbi Yochanan say before? Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said before that a karfeif that's more than two base sa'a, even if it has mechitzos, is still considered to be what? A rishus hayochid. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said that if I'm standing in rishus harabim, and I throw a rock into the enclosed Karmelis, even if it's more than two base saw, then I'm chayyu for otsah midorais, mechayyu v'chatos. This just contradicted Rabbi Yochanan, because what did the Braisa just say? The Braisa said if the rock standing in the sea, even though it's 10 tefachim high, and more than 4 tefachim wide, which means again, it's Rosh Siyachid, once it becomes more than two base saw, then what? Even though it has mechitzos, because it has mechitzos right, even though it has mechitzos, now it's considered like a Karmelis. And therefore I could go ahead and carry it from the rock to the sea, from the sea to the rock. This contradicts Rabbi Yochanan. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. Amar Rava says, Man delo yoda tarutzi masnisa tiyufta mosiv leil Rabbi Yochanan. One who does not know how to learn properly has the chutzpah to go ahead and pose a question to Rabbi Yochanan. So these are fighting words. So the Gemara says the following. This is Rav Huna. So comes along Rav, and Rav says to Rav Huna, you mechutza, you don't even know how to learn, right? And you're posing a question to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Li'olam areshakai. So Rav says to Rav Sheshes, who is the massive, Rav Huna, excuse me. So Rav says to Rav Huna, you didn't understand the braisa. Li'olam aresha. In fact, the qualification of Ad Kama is talking to the first part of the ratio. What does it mean? V'achi ka'amar, ha'bisocho metaltalin. The ratio is saying like this, that L'maisa Rabbeinu say, if the rock itself is 10 tefachim high and more than 4 tefachim wide, you can carry as much as you want on the rock itself. V'ad Kama, and how large could the rock be that you could carry on the rock itself? Ad besasayim. Until an area of two base, meaning as long as the rock is within two base saw, you can carry anywhere you want on top of the rock. But apparently, once it becomes more than two base saw, then what? Then lemaisa, you'd be restricted in only carrying dalet amos on the face of the rock. Rav Asher says no. Li'olam areisha. You're right. Let's clarify this. It's talking about the first part of the braisa. Hein amru vehein amru. And the truth is, the rabbis have the ability to stipulate the law in the way that they want. What does that mean? Hein amru karfeif yosne beis sasayim shalokof ladira e metalten bo'ala dalaramas. The rabbi said that if you have a karfeif that's more than two beis sa'ah, that has not been enclosed for residential purposes, even though it has mechitos, but it hasn't been enclosed for residential purposes, you cannot carry within it more than dalaramas. Vehein amru ein metalten mirshiach lekarmas. So both the Gemara essentially says the following. You're getting hung up on the contradictions. But it is a you don't have to get hung up on the contradictions. It is a contradiction. And you know what? The rabbis have the right to legislate certain halachic contradictions. Essentially, what the rabbi said is, we make the Karmelis l'chumra in both cases. On one hand, we say that if you have an area that is enclosed, but it was not enclosed for residential purposes, but it has mechitos, like the case of the rock over here, right? Or the case of the karfeif before, if it's more than two base sa'ah, we tell you to what? We tell you to go ahead and treat it like a quasar sarab, and therefore you can only carry within it dalet amos. On the other hand, that same area that's enclosed but more than two base saw, if you're standing in Rishus Harabim and you throw something into it, then what? You're chayiv for transporting an item from Rishram to Rish Yachid. Or in other words, the rabbi said that in some cases the enclosed Karmelis is going to be treated like a Rishus Harabim, and in some cases, the enclosed karfek is going to be treated like a rishus hayochid. And it varies case to case. And is it a contradiction? Yes. But whenever the rabbis legislate rabbinic law, they have the case, they have the prerogative, what's called heim amru veheim amru. They said like this, they said like that. Essentially, what we're doing is we're treating the area l'chumra in both cases. Base sasayim, the shari l'taltulei, bikule, asira bana l'taltulei, lo min ayam l'socho, velo mi socho l'yam. So if you have a case where the rock is 2 sa'a or less, where you're allowed to go ahead and carry throughout the entire area, the rabbi said you can't carry from that rock to the sea, nor can you carry from the sea to the rock. My time, what's the reason? Rishus hayochid gimurehi, because it's a bona fide rishus hayochid. Yes, sir, beisasai. However, when the area of the rock is more than 2 beisa, the asur l'taltulei bikulei. Rabbi said again. Now remember, if you have a carmelist, if you have an area that's more than 2 beisa, and it's enclosed for non-residential purposes, that's the case where the rabbi said you have to treat it like rishus harabim. The asur l'taltulei bikulei. Therefore, you can only carry dalaramis. Sharu rabbanu l'taltulei misocho liyam umeyam l'socho. In that case, the rabbi is allowed you to carry from the sea to the rock and from the rock to the sea. My time. What's the reason? Dilma amr rishus yachid gimuri. Because if we don't allow you to do that, people will think that an area like that is a rosh sayachid va'asi l'taltulei bikulei, and they will come to go ahead and carry throughout the entire area. Umayshno, umayshno, umayshno. So the Gemara says, umayshno, umayshno. Umayshno tocho shchiach mitocho liyam uminayam l'socho lo shchiach. And why do we treat them differently? Because the Gemara says tocho shchiach. The case of the usage on the top of the area of the rock, that's a shchiach case. Meaning it's shchiach, it's normal case to go ahead and use an area of a karfek that's more than 2 beisa. Therefore, we have to legislate in that case. But mitochol yam, or minayam l'sokol, but carrying from the rock to the sea and from the sea to the rock, that l'mais is not a shchiach case, and therefore Chazal don't legislate in that case. And also what comes out from this sugi is something very interesting regarding the area of karfek, or slash karmelis. So what comes out is, if you have an area that's more than 2 beisa, an area that's more than 2 beisa, but it's enclosed, it has mechitzos. So on one hand, technically speaking, it has the criteria for Rishus Hayochid, and that it has the space, but it has the enclosure. It's very important. It has the enclosure. Then what? Then Lamaisa, how we reckon that area depends on the circumstance. There are times that area will be treated like a Rosh Sayachid, times that area will be treated like a Rosh Sarabim. In terms of carrying in the area itself, it's considered to be like a Rosh Sarabim just because of its size. Even though what? It has mechitzos. So if you carry more than Dalet Amis in that enclosed karmelis, then lemais you're chayiv. You're only chayiv midraba, not chayiv midoraisa, but you're chayiv nevertheless. But yet, if you were to go ahead and transfer an object from a Rosh Sarabim to that area, then what? You'll be chayiv. But chayiv what? Chayiv midoraisa. Why? Because midoraisa, that area is considered to be a rishus hayochid by virtue of the fact that it has mechitzos. So what the Gemara essentially says is, at the end of the day, what was causing all the confusion was we thought the brises were contradicting each other. And so what we realize is that what? There are no contradictions. Chazal happened to have a contradictory definition of this area. Sometimes it's gauged like a rishus hayochid, sometimes it's gauged like a rishus harabim. Right, the most of the stuff. Why can't you what?
Why can't you sit here? There's nothing more.